Shalom to all. Today's episode of Shalom Yuvam is Avchav Alfi. We're starting about the eighth line with the words Chalitz B'Sach Shalish Chadashim. And today's episode sponsor Lila Nishmas Marshmim Sar Basim Yaakov Moshe Hernish Amos should have an Aliyah. So we just learned before that Chalitza has to happen after 3 months of death. We need a full 3 month period after the husband dies before Chalitza or Yibum happens. That's because we have to see whether or not the Yuvam is pregnant. If she's pregnant, she carries it full term, and the baby lives. He's a Ben Kayama, so there's no need for Chalitza or Yibum. So now the Gemara says Chalitz B'Sach Shalish Chadashim Moshe Tzricha La'Achar Shalish Chadashim. Let's say he did Chalitza within 3 months. Does he have to do Chalitza again after 3 months? It turns out that she wasn't pregnant after 3 months. Do we say that retroactively it was valid and let's just leave it, or does he have to redo the chalitza? The answer is in Shmini Adal. Learn from the following: if a katana did chalitza, tachlis v'shtagdil, she has to do chalitza again when she grows up, when she becomes a gedayla. The imloy chalitza, if she didn't do chalitza again, so chalitza is like sheira, but the evid, the original chalitza is kosher. Now Rav Mana Amar La Stam, Rav Mana said the following thing: Stam meaning just in his own name. Rav Yitzchak Breid Rav Chia Mati B'Shem Rav Yechanan, he was inclined to say this in Rav Yechanan. The Rav Meir, he, this member of a katana needing to do chalitza again when she gets older is from Rav Meir. Rav Meir Amar, Rav Meir says, "Ein chaltin ve'ein miyavnas haktana, we're not doing chalitza or yibum to a ktana, shema timatzi islandess, because maybe she's going to end up being an islandess. As we already know, an islandess is a woman who's not able to have children, and if it turns out that she's an islandess, that means she was never chayv in yibum or chalitza, and if he did yibum to her, that means he married his brother's wife, shaloi bim kai mitzvah, because there's no mitzvah, and that's obviously a big problem. Therefore, no doing chalitza or yibum to a ktana, and we have to wait till she becomes a gedayla in order to determine whether or not she's an islandess, and only then she can have chalitza." And what do we see from here? Just like you say over there, afal pisha chalitza chaletzes, that even though she did chalitza beforehand, she still has to do chalitza again, even though we could say that there's a rive. The majority of women are not islandiyos, and really the original chalitza should be viewed as 100% valid. Still, Rav Meir requires another chalitza to happen after she becomes a gedayla. Well, v'hachanami, so too over here, afal pisha chalitza chaletzes, even though she got chalitza beforehand, she still needs to do another chalitza after the 9 months. We continue discussing another case. Rav Yudan Bahi asks as follows: Uberes v'yipila. Let's say they had chalitza with the Yavama, and she was pregnant. There was no need for chalitza. She's pregnant. But what happened afterwards? She was mapel de vlad. She miscarried at loyalenu. So do we say that retroactively that chalitza really was valid because it turned out that she needed it anyway, or maybe not? Perhaps we need a new one. And the answer is Mishmiyadon from the following. It's a very long brisa, so we're only going to get the answer at the end. What does the brisa tell us? Harisha Meis, a fellow died, and he left his wife pregnant. You might think that she's zakuk to yibum because he didn't leave a child over. So to that time, the pasuk says, Yisrael, and his name shouldn't be erased from Klal Yisrael. That's the reason for Yibam. What do we learn from here? As a Shmai Machoy, this is only somebody whose name is erased. Yatzazesh ain't Shmai Machoy, it excludes this person. His name isn't erased because his wife is pregnant, and roiv pregnancies are carried full term. So it's not considered like his name was erased. Now, Yachal, you might think, so in this situation, let the tsara, the co-wife, get married without needing chalitza. And to that, we say that no, Tamalim, the pasuk says, Lahakim la'achiv shem b'Yisrael. The Yibam happens to establish, to set up a name for his brother among the Yidden. What does this tell us? We have to know for sure if this child which is being carried by the wife is a ben kayama, will he live or will he not? And since we don't know that for sure right now, the tsar is not about to get married stam without anything. Now just continuing a little bit more in the brisa, even though it's a little bit off topic, you might think that the wife of a sris, which is a man who can't have children, that she requires yibum because her husband's not able to have children, so his name will be erased in Klal Yisrael if not for yibum. So to that time, the pasuk says, what does this teach us? As she'ain shmai machoy, yibum only happens with somebody whose name has a potential for not being erased. Yatzazeh sheshmai machoy, it excludes the sris. His name is already considered erased because he can't have children anyway. So his wife is not chayv in yibum. Now we just go back to the original discussion of the yavama who's pregnant. So the gemara says again, yachol imer tzaras mutaras linasei. You might think that a tzar should be allowed to get married because since she's pregnant, and as we had said, the majority of women carry that pregnancy full term, so there's not going to be a chayv of yibum anyway. So let the tzar go get married now. And to that we say that no. What about the following? Hakanis is let's say a person married his Yavama, Vinimsis Muberes, and it turns out that she's pregnant. What's the din with the Tsara in that situation? So Kamadat Amar, just like you say over there, that Tsarasa, the Tsara of this pregnant Yavama, who's already taken in Yibam, Loi Tinase, still that Tsara is not allowed to get married. Ad Shetedo Mahi Materes, she has to know for sure why she's permitted to get married. Imbe Ibur, is it because of the pregnancy? Meaning, is the child Ben Kayama? Or Imbe Bia, is it because of Bia? Meaning, is it because of Yibam? Meaning, even though in this case, Mamanavshach, the Tsara is going to be permitted because since the Yavam already married the Yavama and she's pregnant, so either way, if she's chayv in Yibam, so the tzar is going to be pater, and if she's not chayv in Yibam because the child's carried full term, well, once again, the tzar is pater. But nonetheless, she's not allowed to get married until she knows for sure why she's pater. And after chalitza, can it's the same thing with chalitza. Chalitza pater, ubiya pater, chalitza pater, and bia pater, and kamada timber bia, just like we said this by bia, meaning when a person married his Yavam and it turns out that she was pregnant, the tzar is not free to go until she knows why. Kachat mar b'chalitza, you say the same exact thing with chalitza. chalitza, and therefore going back to Rabbi Yehuda's question, if a person did chalitza to the yavama who's pregnant and she miscarried the child, is that chalitza valid? The answer is no, because when he did chalitza to her, there was this uncertainty. Maybe she doesn't need chalitza in the first place, because maybe she will carry that pregnancy full term, and then there's no need for chalitza. Therefore, the chalitza does need to be repeated after she miscarries. So we deal with a din that's not related, but we're going to bring our mission into the discussion. So that's why it's brought over here. Shmuel Amar Shmuel says, Zachin be'ubarin. One can be mezak as something to an ubar. According to some says it should be zachin le'ubarin, but it's really the same thing. What does this mean? So when it comes to acquiring something, you're able to be mezak as something. You could cause something to be halachically acquired by somebody else, even though they're not there, and they don't even necessarily know about it. That would be if Reuven gives something to Shimon to be kind of for Levi. Since we know zachin la'adam shalai b'fanav, a person could acquire, he could be zachin something for somebody else if he's not there, if it's a benefit for him. So now it's considered like it's Levi's, it's not Shimon's. And that's what Shmuel's telling us, we can do by an ubar. We have a fetus inside the mother's stomach. Reuven could give something to Shimon, and he's acquiring it for that fetus, and it works. However, Blazar Amar, he says, Ein zachin ubarim, one can be zachin something for an ubar. Now, Rabbi Yossi comments, Afal gav de Shmuel amar zachin ubarim. Even though Shmuel says we could be zachin something to an ubar, Maidi, he agrees that v'hushi yatsa rosh v'ru b'chayim, that only works if the child is born, the head and the majority of his body come out, and he's alive at that point in time. So we say this is a real child, the person was actually born. So we say retroactively, that kinyan that was made for him worked. But if the child was miscarried, it doesn't work. For the clarification, Dimasisa, this comes from our Mishnah. What does our Mishnah say? If a person did chalitza to Zivama and it turns out that she was pregnant, and the Mishnah continues saying that if the child ends up being born and he's alive, he's a ben kayama, he's a viable child, chalitza is absolutely nothing. She's allowed to marry Kayin, and he's mother to her relatives, and she's mother to his relatives. What do we see? Come on, that Dharma Taman, just like you say over there in the Mishnah, and here's the proper girsa, ben hulam afreya, turns out he's a son retroactively, loy nagaba chalitza, and that means the chalitza didn't touch her, meaning it's considered like she's not a chalitza at all. Chafalvam bez on top of a hacha, so to over here, in regards to being mezakal ubar, ben hulam afreya, for who she is, ket, he's considered a son, lima freya, and it's only in that situation Shmuel says that mezakin leubar. Says the Gemara, Tamantanin over there, we learned in the Mishnah, Mesechus Basra, that a Aimer, let's say a person says, im yalda ishi zachar, if my wife gives birth to a male, yital mana, he gets a mana, so yalda zachar, if she gives birth to a male, naital mana, so the child gets a mana. And if the father says, im nekeva, if my wife gives birth to a female, masayim, he gets 200, so yalda nekeva, she gave birth to a female, natal is masayim, she gets 200. Now this is technically a question of Blazar, who says, im mezakin leubar. Over here, the Mishnah is telling us clearly that yes, mezakin leubar, then when the child is born, it gets 100 or 200. And the answer is that no, Blazar Amar, he explains, Loi Amru El Benoi. This is only said by a person's son, Ha Acher Loi, but not with somebody else. Meaning, Reuven can say, if my wife gives birth, so then the child's going to get either 100 or 200, depending on what it is. But Reuven is not able to tell Shimon, if your wife gives birth to a boy or girl, it's 100 or 200. And the reason why is because Blazar is consistent with his Shita that Ein Mizakin Leubar. The only reason why it works by a father is because of an expression, Shedai Toi Kroiva Eitzel Benoi. He has a lot of warm feelings, if you will, towards his son. That's what enables this Kenyan to work, but it doesn't really work through real Zachiyah. It's just that kind of Drabanon that it works. Our Rabbi Yisrael Amar, he argues and says, Afilo Acher, he can even be Mazaka to Uber if it's a different Uber, not just his child. Now, we just further clarify Rabbi Blazer's Shita, that Rabbi Blazer, Kuntra Blazer, Ubovad Shchiv Meira, Habari Loi, Ubovad Metaltalin, Hakar Kayas Loi. This only works with a Shchiv Meira, not with a healthy person, and only with movable objects and not with land. And that's because, since we just said a Kuntra Blazer, this is not working by way of regular Zachiyah because Ein Zaychen Lubarin, and it's only working because of Takana, so it's only in a unique situation. This father has to be a shchiv meira, which means he's on his deathbed, and that's meduyik from the fact that the Mishnah says ha'oimer. If a person says that he's going to give this over, we know that kinyan doesn't work by saying, rather by handing something over. It's only by shchiv meira, a person who's on his deathbed, he has the ability to be makna something by way of saying, as it has to be the person's shchiv meira, and it only works with metaltlin as well, but not property. The more continues, masisa pligar Rab Lazar. The following is clearly not like Rab Lazar. What does it tell us? Ger shemes, if a ger dies, ubizbizu yisrael's nechasov, and Yidin took all of his stuff. We know that if a ger dies without children, so he has no relatives, even if his whole family was Megayer with him, they're not halachically considered his relatives, and therefore, for all intents and purposes, everything that he has is 100% Hefker, so that's what happened. He died, Yidden took all of his stuff, and then, it turns out that he had a son, meaning a real son that was born to him after he became a Ger. This son was living overseas, or his wife was pregnant, so everyone has to return everything. Clearly, we see in the second scenario, when his wife is pregnant, from the fact that everything has to be returned, it must be that Mezakin Leubar, because everything clearly belongs to his unborn son, this fetus, and that's definitely not like Rab Lazar. Ma Avilar Rab Lazar, says the Gemara, what does Rab Lazar do with this? And the answer is, Shani Yehach, this case is different, Shehu Benoi, because it's his son, and that's what Rab Lazar said before as well, that his son is different, and over here it actually works Midin Yerusha. When the Ger died, when he leaves his wife pregnant with a child, that child really is Zeichin it because of Yerusha, and that's why this case is different. The Gemara continues, V'seifa pligal Shmuel min Adad Rab Yaisa. The end of this Braisa is clearly not like Shmuel the way Rab Yaisa explained him. Remember, Shmuel had said that Mezakin Leubar, but Rabbi Yosef had said that the that's only if the child was born alive. What does the end of the Brisa tell us? Hechziru akol. Let's say everyone returned everything they took from the ger, because again, it turns out that he either had a son or that his wife was pregnant. And then, achach mesa ben ashepila. After this, the son died or his wife miscarried. So kol kaidem b'achroina zacha, but b'rishayna loy zacha. The people who chapa rein in this last situation, after the son died or after she miscarried, if they now come and grab some property and stuff, so they're zaycha, they could keep it, but the original people who had taken things, they're not zaycha in it. So here's the question, afil b'rishayna yizka. Even the original people who had taken things, they should be zaycha in them retroactively. Why is that? Loikein amar Rabbi Yosa, didn't Rabbi Yosa say that afal got the Shmuel amar zachan lubarin, even though Shmuel said that we could be mezaka to an ubar, maidi v'hushiyatza reshiv rubachayim. He agrees that that ubar has to come out alive with his head and the majority of his body. And since in this case, the ubar was miscarried, it turns out that really nothing was ever acquired to him, and that means that the original people which had taken all the ger stuff, that was done rightfully, and they should be allowed to take it back, and it should not go to the second people who chapped it. And again, that's because the Gemara says, Hareinu ben kayama. The child wasn't ben kayama, he wasn't viable, so why doesn't it go to the original people? So Rav Yisrael Bar-Lazar, he answers, Mishum Yiyosh, because of Yiyosh, is for a totally different reason. Once the original people gave the stuff back, they're clearly showing that they're giving up hope, they're being miyayish, that really doesn't belong to them, so they're relinquishing their ownership on it, and that's why it doesn't come back to them. But theoretically, if we're to say that one of them held on to his stuff, or maybe if he returned it with a caveat, that I'm only giving it back if the child's not a ben kayama, and therefore I'm not being miyayish on it, perhaps he would get it back. And continue to discuss this, Rabban de Kesar and quote Ruchi Barva, who says, B'shem Rav Ahar Bar Nasan, the Chazer Bar Rabbi Lazar, that's Rabbi Gersa, Rabbi Lazar was Chazer from his Shita, the really yes Zachan Lubarin. How do we know this? Min Masnisa, from this above Mishnah that we brought, that the person said, Im Zachar Mana, Im Nekev Masayim, if my wife gives birth to a male, he gets a mana, if my wife gives birth to a female, she gets two mana, and even Rabbi Lazar agrees to that. Now, how do we see that he's Chazer? Because in Nekev Gaba, Loiba Inyan Ka'acherhu, a female in regards to a male, isn't she considered an Acher? When we had originally explained Rabbi Lazar of why the son gets that 100 when he's born, as because a father, Daitai Kreva Itzel Benoi, his feelings, his desire is close to his son when he has a son born to him, and therefore the Chum say, okay, he could acquire it. When we're talking about a girl being born, we don't say that Daitai Kreva Itzel Bitoi, but nonetheless, Rabbi Lazar still says that she does get that 200, and that can't work because of this Takana that the Chum decided that the child could get it. Because again, that only works for a son, not for a daughter, so it must be that Rabbi Lazar was Chayzer from his Shita, and that really, yes, Mezakin Le'ubar. Now, with a totally different opinion, Tani Bar Kapara, we rise from Bar Kapara, the Ben Yoimai Zachin Loi, one can only be Mezak to somebody who's a day old, meaning only once the child is born, we can mezak something to him, but not when he's an ubar. The Mishnah tells us, man marries his yavama, v'nim says muberes. Turns out that she's pregnant, v'yalda, and then she gives birth. So b'zman shavlan shal kayama, if the child was ben kayama, he was a viable child, he lived, so yaitzi, the fellow has to now divorce her, v'chayavin b'karbon, they're chayavin a karbon, because it turns out that he wasn't allowed to marry her in the first place, and they're both over eshes ach, and so they have to bring a karbon. It's only v'im ein avlan shal kayama, if the child wasn't viable, he didn't end up living, so yikayim, he's allowed to remain married to her, because then she turns into be his yavama. What about the following? Let's say this child is suffic. We're not so sure if he was born after a 9-month pregnancy from the first one from Reuven, or if it was a 7-month pregnancy from the second one from Shimon, as we actually have no idea who this child's father is. Yaitzi, the Yavam still has to divorce his wife. Vavlad kosher, the child is kosher, because of Manavshach, if he's Reuven's child, he's kosher, and if he's Shimon's child, he's kosher. However, Chayav and Mashem Toloi, they're both Chayav and Ashem Toloi, because they're not so sure if they were Ivar and Avera. So Sanek Mara begins an extensive discussion about Ashem Toloi, and we're going to have a big machlaikis over here. The first opinion is going to be today, second opinion will be tomorrow. Rabbi says as follows, if a person is able to determine with certainty if he was Ivar or not, then he's not chayv on its suffik in Ashem Toloi. Meaning, if a person is currently in a state of suffik, was I Ivar on an Avera that I would have to bring a carbon chatas for? Rabbi says he doesn't have to bring an Ashem Toloi yet if he will be able to determine with 100% certainty later on whether or not he was Ivar. How is this? What's an example of this? So let's say a person had two kezesim in front of him. One was chaylev, which is forbidden. The other one is shuman. It's mutter, and he ate one of them. That's proper girza. The other one is in a box under lock and key. And the person says, listen, since if I find the key to this box, I'll be able to determine which one I ate, because I'll be able to see which one is in the box. I'll know if it's chaylev or the shuman, then I'll know which one I ate. So is this person chayv and Ashem Toloi now that he's besafik? He doesn't yet have the key to the box, and he's besafik. Did he eat the chaylev or not? So maybe he has to bring an Ashem Toloi. The answer is Nishmim Madal. So from the following, what our Mishnah saying in the beginning, he married his Yavama and it turns out she was pregnant. Now, up until it's clear to him or it's been determined whether this child is a Ben Kayama or maybe he's not a Ben Kayama, does he have to bring an Ashem Toloi? No. The Mishnah in the Reisha didn't say he has to bring an Ashem Toloi. It told us very simply, if the child's a Ben Kayama, then he has to bring a Chatos because then he was either living with Eshes Ach, and if the child's not a Ben Kayama, he doesn't have to bring anything. And up until that was determined, he doesn't have to bring anything either. It's only the sefer in the Mishnah that says he has to bring an Ashem Taloi. So Adam Hizkili tells us she'einoi mevi, that a person doesn't have to bring an Ashem Taloi if at some point in time in the future he will be able to determine with 100% certainty whether or not he was Iver. It's only in the sefer of the Mishnah when we're dealing with a suffix that will never be able to be determined. We don't know if this is a 9-month pregnancy from the first one or a 7-month pregnancy from the second one. So it's in that case that he has to bring an Ashem Taloi, according to Rabbi Yaisi. We're going to have a pick up tomorrow with exact opposite opinion, but for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.